Typically, when pastors get together, one of two things happens. Not all the time, but usually one of two things happens. Either it's a competition and they start trying to outdo themselves about how awesome their church is and how they're better than each other. I mean, we don't use words like that, but that's essentially what happens. Or it's a complaint session and they start complaining and then it turns into a competition. Whose church is worse as they start to complain about things? And it's not only when pastors get together. Oftentimes when pastors get outside of their congregation, you know, so they're off with family or something, or they're in another state or they're on vacation, it also turns into complaints. Or if it's with someone who's not part of their church or congregation, it turns into a complaint session. And it's understandable. The pastor say, man, I wish that they would care more about the gospel. I wish they would care more about evangelism. I wish that they would give more. I wish that they were more loving. Oh my goodness, they're the worst group of people ever. It happens. It happens often. Something interesting, though, when the Apostle Paul writes to Philippians, and actually sometimes when pastors are talking to congregation members away from the broader congregation, they complain about the congregation. The Apostle Paul, while he was away writing to the Philippians, he didn't turn it into a competition. He didn't turn it into a complaint session. Instead, he prays for the Philippians. And right as he starts his letter to the Philippians, he tells them that there are two main things he is praying for them. And so as I have worked my way through this text, it is areas that I have decided to adopt to pray for the Orchard Church. And so how am I praying for the Orchard Church? Certainly I'm praying for your prayer requests. Certainly I'm praying that COVID-19 and the pandemic and the situation, our national devastation, will go away. I'm praying for that. I'm praying for our physical comfort and our financial well-being and all of those things. But there's two things that are even more important than that. How am I praying for the Orchard Church? So it's going to be a little bit of a different sermon, and the application will be a little bit different. The application, essentially, at the end of the day, is that you will agree with God and God's Word, and you will submit to the prayers that myself and Paul, through the Word of God, are offering for you. How am I praying for the Orchard Church? Well, as we see Paul start off his letter, this is what he starts in verse 1. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is talking to the entire church. Also, he gives a special honor to the overseers. We'd call that elders in our church, and because there was a team of overseers in Philippi and the team of deacons that they had there. And it's interesting here, we often say Paul wrote this letter, but look, it says Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. I'm just going to leave that there. You can ponder on it and chew over it all you want, but I'll continue to say Paul. So grace and peace to you from God our Father. So what we're about to see here is Paul says that he is praying with thanksgiving that they have partnered with him in the gospel. And so my prayer for the Orchard Church is one of absolute gratitude that you are willing to partner with myself, with this church, with each other to share the gospel. I am praying with gratitude for the Orchard Church that you are willing to share the gospel. Verse 3, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. You know, oftentimes in the broader world, people talk about Paul being like this just brutal, mean-spirited guy. I don't see any of that here. I mean, he talks about the affection and the love he has for them in Christ Jesus. And he says, I am thankful to God for you because you have partnered with me in my imprisonment to further the gospel. Now, think about it like this. What can you accomplish in prison? Right? Like, what can you accomplish if the police came up, rolled up on you, they arrested you, and you are in prison for a while? I mean, you could read some books, you can maybe write a few letters to people. Maybe you can get a furthering education to some extent. But you know, change the world upside down. What can you do if you're in jail? Can you be gainfully employed? Can you take care of your family? No. Well, think about in our current situation. What in the world can we accomplish while we're all in quarantine? What can we accomplish while we are in a pandemic? It's like there's nothing we can do, right? We're all stuck at home, and there's not much we can do, and it's really difficult. Except, I mean, look at what's happened at the Orchard Church since the pandemic. We partnered with the schools to do a baccalaureate graduation ceremony. The gospel was shared to the graduates and their families with the school. Praise God. We partnered with the school and started a meal distribution. And when they were done with that aspect of it, we continued the meal distribution, sharing the gospel both in word and deed, because tracts are going out with the meals. And we've shared with hundreds of people the gospel of Jesus Christ in a very practical way. We love you. God does too. Here's a practical way to show you that God loves you. And this is a demonstration of God's love for you in Christ Jesus. At home, what are other good things that have come from the pandemic? That's not to say that there haven't been bad. That's not to say that we're not in a really rough situation. But what are some ways you've seen God working in the middle of the pandemic? I'll tell you too, there have been people who've tuned in online on Facebook. There have been conversations that I've had, gospel-centered conversations with people who would never darken the doors of a church as a result of this. And that happens because of your partnership. When Paul's talking about the partnership that Philippians had in Philippi, he was talking about their faithfulness in prayer. And he was talking about their faithfulness in evangelism, where they would share the gospel with others. He was talking about their partnership in finances, so that the gospel ministry could continue both in Philippi and in Paul's imprisonment, and so that he could be taking care of his physical needs. He was talking about faithfulness, like I said, in prayer, that they were continuing to pray every day so that the gospel might continue. And that has happened here at the church. And so that's why I can say without any reservation, I am praying with thanksgiving that you, Orchard Church, especially during this time of lockdown, have been faithful to partner with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have been faithful partners. Financially, the church is doing well. Praise be to God. That is not every church, but it's because of your faithfulness that we have been able to do the meal distribution, the gospel messages, the social media, the baccalaureate graduation service, and on and on and on, all of those things. It's because of you and your faithfulness. It's because you're faithful to pray for the unsaved in your life and to share the gospel with them in a effective, winsome, wise way while we have been locked down and in the 9 years I've been here. And so I praise God for you. Now, you might be saying, wow, hey, we're doing pretty good. This church is great. Are we perfect? No, of course not. We've got a long way to go. We're by no means a perfect church, but we're a healthy church, and we're heading in the right direction. Look what Paul says in verse 6. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And so we submit ourselves to that prayer. The prayer Paul gave to the Philippians, the prayer I am offering for you right now. God, I thank you for the Orchard Church and their partnership with the gospel. Submit yourself. Be more faithful in sharing. Be more faithful in praying. Be more faithful in giving. It is because of this partnership that we have as a church community that our community, and indeed the world, good stuff happening in Vietnam because of this church, is being transformed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your partnership. When I pray, I'm thankful that you've partnered with this church, with each other, to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's something else that Paul says, and there's another thing that he's praying about. It's not just a prayer of thanksgiving for what they're already doing, but he's praying as he looks at this loving group of people that something else would happen. And so that's why I'm also praying for the Orchard Church, that your love will grow in knowledge from Jesus, that your love will grow in knowledge from Jesus. Look what he says in verse 9. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise to God. Okay, so Paul's a genius, and I'm not. So I had to like sketch this out and figure out visually what exactly was saying. So here's what I think he was starting out. Okay, he's starting off with love, right? Wow, the Philippian church, you are a loving church. And you love each other. But we don't want to stop there. You started with love, but I pray that your love will grow in, knowledge, he says. And I think that's showing up there. Right, so that your love will grow in knowledge, so that you add to that knowledge from Jesus Christ, and so that you're not just emotionally like, woo, but you actually grow in what you're learning, but that knowledge is rooted in love. And not only that, but I pray that your knowledge will grow in discernment. And so discernment is the ability to tell what is good, what is right, what is wrong, what is beautiful and what is ugly. And that's sometimes harder to do. And so the image he's given us here is that your heart grows in knowledge, in discernment, so that, he says in verse 10, so you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, right? So he's saying, right, so when you grow, your love grows this way in knowledge and discernment, you could say, ooh, that's not good. Instead of filling up your heart with junk, because Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, you could say, wow, I have these ugly things. No, I'm not going to accept them into my heart. I'm going to take those. I'm going to reject those instead. Okay, this is my terrible check mark that I have. I'm going to put good things so you may prove what's good in your life and accept it into your heart. And then you're filled with the fruit of Jesus Christ. You take on the character of Christ. You become more like him so that you can approve of the things that Jesus approves, and you become more and more like him, and you don't chase after the ugly things that the rest of the world chases after. You don't chase after the ugly things that sin forces you to chase after. He wants your love to grow so that you become more like him, filled with fruit of that comes from Jesus Christ, literally so that you will act in a way that is similar to Jesus's character. Right, and so my prayer for the Orchard Church, just as Paul's prayer for Philippi, is that your love, and we are a very loving church, one of the biggest responses I get from people when they come visiting, you are a very welcoming, warm, loving church. Praise God. His prayer is, don't stop there. Have your love grow in knowledge. Have your knowledge grow in discernment. And have it all rooted in love. Everything we do has to be rooted in love. It has to start out that way. I mean, think about it like this. Could you imagine if there was an accountant who loathed math? I mean, just loathed it. I mean, she from a little girl, hated math from kindergarten, hated math all throughout school, and then somehow went into college and got a math degree, and then started doing people's taxes, right? And she hates math. How effective is she going to be at her job? Is she going to put in the extra hours? Is she going to go in the extra mile? Is she going to work real hard? Nope. She's not. She hates math. Let's flip that around here real quick. How good of a Christian can you be if you don't love Jesus? If you are not filled with a daily affection for him? You can know everything. You can know scripture like the back of your hand. You can study systematic theology books. You can have all the facts right. But according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, if you have all the knowledge and all the secret and all the wisdom of the universe, but you don't have love, you are just a noisy, annoying sound. That's all you are. And so the image Paul gives us here to the Philippians is all this knowledge and discernment, it has to be rooted in love. It has to start with love. If it doesn't start with love, you're wrong. If it doesn't start with love, you are in error. A number of years ago, I saw at a parade a sign. I saw someone picketing with a sign. You deserve hell. Now, is this sign correct? You don't have to answer at home. Is this sign correct? Is it correct? A number of years ago, I would have said this sign is correct, but it was communicated in the wrong way. That's what I would have said. Reading this, though, I'm convicted. No, it's wrong. Right? Because the message of the gospel, right? Because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, right? You deserve hell. Except here's the problem. The gospel message isn't you deserve hell. The gospel message is we all deserve hell, right? So let's change the sign. What if we change the sign to say we deserve hell? Is that correct? No, it's not correct. Why? Because Romans 6:23 has a second part to the verse, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? So you can't have the condemnation without the hope of the gospel. And a sign like this is a sign of anger. It's a sign of meanness. It is not a sign of love. It is not rooted in love. It is me trying to condemn you. Instead of saying, hey, we all deserve hell, but praise be to God, he sent us the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our penalty for sin on the cross, died in our place so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This sign is wrong. It is intellectually wrong. It is factually wrong because it is not rooted in love. It's not. It's rooted in tribalism. It is rooted in arrogance. It is rooted in me saying, I'm better than you, and I don't like what you're doing, and you need to change. That's not the issue. The issue is, what does God say about my behavior, my activity, and what has he done in order to save me from this body of sin? He's given us Jesus Christ. So even something that I guess you could say, well, it's kind of true, but it's not true because it's not rooted in love. Otherwise, it's nothing. So some of you might be there saying, well, wait a minute, does this mean like throw intellectual rigor and intellectual studies out the door? Of course not. Of course not. Study your Bible, study the Word, study systematic theology, read about science, read about politics, all of that. But everything you do needs to be rooted in love. You have, I'm going to troll you a little bit. You have all of the correct information about whether you should or should not wear face masks. You have all the information about whether social distancing is effective or not. Before you take action, make sure you're taking action, you're posting, you're having those conversations, and that conversation starts rooted in love. Not, I told you so. Not, I'm better than you. Not, I have this esoteric knowledge that no one else has. I genuinely have a concern and compassion for people. I will share this. And I'm not doing this because I'm angry at you, not because I hate you, not because I want to say I told you so, but because I love you. And then you can post. And then you can have conversations. Your political posts, right? Do you love your political opponents? If you can't love your political opponents, don't post. Don't have that conversation. Instead, pray that God will grow your love and have all of the knowledge you have rooted in love. And by the way, hell, I'm pretty convinced that except for in a few cases, Christians should not be talking about hell unless we have tears in our eyes. Because that is the heart of God. God wishes that none shall perish, but all shall come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul wrote Timothy. So it is not something to hate people with. It is something that we mourn and grieve and say, I want to see you in eternity, and I want you to escape the fires of hell and enter into the glorious salvation that is in found Jesus, that is found in Jesus Christ. Our knowledge has to be rooted in love. Otherwise, it doesn't matter, and it can be harmful. It has to start with love. So my prayer for you is that, Orchard, you are a very loving church, but I pray that your love will grow in and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see, just looking at some of the comments here. Hey, Jonathan, it's good to see you here, Pastor. And Mike Leo says, thank you, Nathan and Drayton. Tori, hey, good to have you here. And Jonathan, good to see you in the chat. And Chris and Dallas Panda, Marshall Mora, good to have you here, brother. And Wind Duck Dot, hey, Dot, welcome from, I assume you're in Vietnam right now. Thanks for joining us. And Michael Dallas says, truth. Wow, that's an intense sign. Yes, that was an intense sign. Jonathan says, thank you, God. And Jeff says, study love. Yeah. Hey, Charlie and Shannon, good to have you guys here. At the chat, what I want you to do is what, I know I asked this before, I haven't seen any responses. What is good that you've seen God doing in the midst of the pandemic? How have you seen him working on you, working on others, working in and through this moment? How have you seen that? But my prayer for you, Orchard Church, is that your love will grow with knowledge from Jesus Christ. Not that you start with knowledge, but you start with love and then move over to knowledge, rooted in love. And so we see that Paul is praying, and so I will pray for you. I pray with thanksgiving that you are willing to partner with this church to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not every church wants to do that, and you have been incredibly faithful to partner with this church. And by this church, I mean each other. We're a family. To partner with your church family in order to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is on the move. We are not fully seeing everything he's doing underneath it all, but he is working, and it is because you have been faithful with each other. And so therefore I praise God with thanksgiving for you. This is a wonderful church. But I also pray that your love will grow in knowledge that comes from Jesus Christ, that all of the knowledge, all of the information you have is rooted in love, and that we act, we talk, we post, we have conversations with rooted in love from Jesus Christ. So as we are continuing through this pandemic, one of the realities that I saw is I saw an article that came out on Wednesday, and this is an intense research study has shown that Americans, including Christians, Bible reading has dropped precipitously in the middle of this pandemic. Prayer has dropped incredibly in the middle of this pandemic. In fact, when the pandemic started, the online church attendance was massive for churches around the country, and online attendance for churches has dropped off, and churchgoers, in fact, the majority of churchgoers have not even attended an online service in 4 weeks. The majority of Christians have not even attended an online church service in 4 weeks. This is not time to check out from God. This is time to check in. This is not the time where we say, well, I guess I don't need God. This is a time where we need him now more than ever. Our prayer needs to go up. Our scripture reading needs to go up. And our church corporate worship, we need to lift our voices, even if they're in our own homes, worshiping together. We need it now more than ever. We need God now more than ever, and we are just slowly, slowly, slowly dropping away. And it's true at the Orchard Church too. We take attendance, we look at all the numbers online and in person, and the numbers have dropped. The numbers have dropped. We need Christ now more than ever. We need God now more than ever. Read your Bible for the love of neighbor so that you can be equipped to answer them with those hard, difficult, heartbreaking questions. Pray and talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, talk to your friends on social media. How can I pray for you? Don't wait for them to come to your wall. Go to their wall. Hey, how can I be praying for you? Private message them. Send text. How can I be praying for you? We need to pray now more than ever. We need God's help now more than ever. And it needs to be rooted in love. And so what I encourage you is submit to the prayer that Paul gives to us, gave to the Philippians, and the prayer that I give to you. Pray that you will continue to be a partner in the gospel of Jesus Christ, both in your own actions, but also corporately as a church, and receive that. If it's finances and you're like, I haven't really given anything, help us out. I think we have $38 left for the meal distribution in the budget. I mean, we'll steal something from the budget elsewhere, of course, but I think we have $38 left. If you want to help out with that, help out with that. That's partnering us to get the word of the gospel out in a very practical way. If it's your prayer life hasn't really been what it should be, start to pray. Start to pray for this church. Start to pray for your neighbors. Start to pray for your unsaved loved ones and neighbors and enemies. Submit to that prayer. If you are a person who is like me, who can become very intellectual and divorced from loving affection, change it. Submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Submit yourself to the Word of God and start to build your knowledge in love, rooted in love, in order to help humanity, in order to help your neighbor, in order to grow with them. Not to show them that you're better, not to show them that you're smarter, not to give them the gotcha questions or gotcha answers, but to show them that you love and care. I am praying with thanksgiving for you, Orchard Church, because of your wonderful partnership in spreading the gospel. And I'm praying for you that your love will grow in knowledge that comes from Jesus Christ, so that you can discern what is right, what is good, and can take on the nature of Christ. A person who loathes math is never going to be a good accountant. A person must love Jesus if you want to be a good Christian, an effective Christian, one who changes the world. Let's pray. Father, I lift up to you this congregation. I pray right now that you will help them abundantly. I pray with thanksgiving, Lord, they have partnered for the 9 years I have been here to spread the gospel all throughout Grand Traverse County and indeed beyond throughout the world. I praise you for such faithful individuals, Lord, but I also pray that as loving as the congregation is, you will grow that love in areas of knowledge and areas of discernment that comes from reading your word, that comes from prayer, that comes from your Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, change our hearts. I pray for this congregation who's watching now, Lord, that they will submit their hearts to receive these prayers, that they will say, yes and amen, I agree. I want to grow in my partnership with each other to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to grow in my love by adding knowledge and discernment, not knowledge and discernment void of love and affection, but one that's rooted in love and affection so that we can love others. It's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen.